Hi everyone, welcome to Guida Galattica per Fisioterapisti podcast. I'm really happy today to welcome Joel Fondon to our podcast. Hi Joel, how are you?
I'm doing great, how are you?
Yeah, really good. I'm really happy to have you on the podcast today. Today the main focus of our chat will be around whiplash, which is Joel's research topic. But as always, Joel, we start by asking our guests to introduce themselves to our community. So if you'd like to share with us your background, your education, and your current role.
Yeah, great. So I'm a physiotherapist, and I'm currently a PhD student in the clinical neuroscience department at the University of Oxford in the UK. I originally trained in the United States, so I did my bachelor's in kinesiology, and then I did a postgrad doctor of physical therapy degree at Regis University in Denver, Colorado, and then I went on to do a year specialty orthopedic residency training at Northwestern University in Chicago, and it was there that I really got kind of more involved in whiplash and more involved in research. So as a part of that clinical residency, I was able to work on a research project with Professor Jim Elliott, and we're looking at kind of imaging findings in patients after whiplash injuries. So then after my residency, I went and worked in the clinic at a private practice for a couple of years, but I was still very interested in pursuing research and trying to better understand why some patients recover after whiplash injuries and why some patients don't. So that led me to reach out to my current supervisor, Anina Schmidt, who has a lab here at the University of Oxford. And now I get to work on a project with her and some colleagues at the University of Brighton. And we're trying to kind of better understand this role and why some patients have persistent pain and persistent symptoms after whiplash injuries.
Yeah, perfect. And so the first question will be, for you to just introduce us to this topic, whiplash. So can you give us an overview around like the definition, the pathophysiology of whiplash?
Yeah, of course. So whiplash is a pretty broad topic that can mean quite a few things to different people. But in general, whiplash is the term that's used to refer to the rapid movement of the head and the neck that most commonly occurs after a motor vehicle crash. The symptoms and the signs that occur after whiplash injuries are commonly referred to, especially in the physiotherapy world, as whiplash-associated disorders, or abbreviated as WAD. And WAD is a really heterogeneous set of conditions that can involve quite a large range of symptoms, from neck pain to headaches, dizziness, sensory motor changes, and low back pain. So those are kind of the primary symptoms that we see after whiplash injury. Currently, there isn't a consistent structural cause of whiplash or whiplash-associated disorders that is known. So because of that, we believe kind of the clinical course and the symptoms that patients get after whiplash injuries are really a complex interactions between, you know, the biological, the psychological, and social factors. But they are a significant problem. Whiplash-associated disorders in the UK alone cost over £5 billion with over 500,000 incidents every year. And we know that from the literature, it's a bit of a spread, but up to 50% of patients after these injuries have persistent symptoms. And we still don't kind of have the underlying reasons why. But the typical scale, especially for whiplash symptoms for physiotherapists, is graded using the Quebec Task Force grading scale. And that's on a scale of 0 to 4, 0 being no real signs of pain or injury, and 4 is the highest, and that'd be a signs of fractures or dislocations. So they're commonly graded using that scale. And the most common kind of patient presentation out of that scale is whiplash grade 2. And these are patients that have musculoskeletal signs, so they have decreased range of motion and pain, but they do not have neurological signs on the typical neurological testing. And so that's the most common type, but we can talk about it maybe in a bit, but there's some ambiguity in whiplash grade 2, that grouping, because it involves so many patients. There's some differences and even some challenges to that grading system, where there could potentially be nerve involvement even though we don't pick it up on kind of the traditional neuro exam of reflexes, dermatomes, and myotomes.
Yeah, perfect. And yeah, as you said, probably most of us have seen hundreds of patients with whiplash. It's a very common thing. And for me, like, the chat today has to be as practical as possible to give us as many information, practical information to our colleagues. So I would start imagining that you're seeing a patient for the first time and you're conducting your subjective assessment. What sort of questions you want to ask to this patient?
Yeah, I'll give the caveat with all of this that obviously it's important. It'll be different for every person that you see, but I'll try to highlight some kind of whiplash specific things that do come up. But just like always with any patient, obviously we always want to do a thorough, in-depth, subjective assessment. But importantly for whiplash, the two things to really make sure that you're clearing up and focusing on in the subjective aspect is clearing out, beginning to discuss red flags that may be present. Often, you know, because of the mechanism of injury, it is a traumatic accident. And so there are potential red flags or, more sinister pathologies that could come from this. And then secondly, the other thing that I always try to dig into with patients is that a lot of patients don't understand that symptoms that they may be experiencing could be related to whiplash. So just making sure that you really clear all the symptoms that they may be having. So I guess the red flags that can be seen, and obviously this is important in your objective exam as well, but subjectively, the masqueraders of red flags. So those symptoms that they may report, that are so common, like neck pain, headache, facial pain, or dizziness, those can all just be standard musculoskeletal causes that come from a whiplash injury, but they also are, the common signs and symptoms of more red flag pathology. So just because they are saying neck pain or headaches, those could commonly be, the traditional MSK findings that we see, but that doesn't rule out red flag symptoms. So just, always keeping that in the back of your mind. I would say that in general, especially in the literature, those red flag or kind of more traumatic injuries aren't very common, but they are really important to look out for in the patients that we do see. So some to consider, especially for whiplash injuries themselves, are, spinal fractures, the imaging and the C-spine rules we may talk about in a bit, but that's important to consider. Ligamentous instability because of the whiplash injury of the upper cervical spine, and then vascular pathologies of the cervical spine can also kind of mimic some of the headache and neck pain, facial pain complaints that you might hear from patients. And then lastly, just making sure you rule out or, discuss findings of central nervous system pathologies. So again, patients present with all a big range of symptoms, but I would say those are kind of the main red flags that you want to start asking about in your subjective and then obviously follow up in your objective exam. And then just kind of going back to that second part that I mentioned, I think, we all probably experienced this, but because whiplash is such a broad topic that's not well understood, and especially for patients, they don't understand that those symptoms might be related to their accident. It's very common that they expect their neck to be stiff or their neck to have some pain, or maybe they have a headache after this, but then if you dig deeper and ask about, if there's any sensory changes or are you experiencing any numbness or tingling, or do you have, visual changes or, any dizziness, a lot of times people won't think that's connected to their whiplash injury because it is kind of a strange symptom and strange things to feel after a car accident. Yeah. But we know that can definitely be part of their presentation. So even though they might not, bring that up initially, always important to kind of dive into the specifics of their symptoms and try to see, the wide range of things that can occur after a whiplash injury.
Yeah, definitely. And then once you've collected all your information during your subjective assessment, in your objective exam, then what are the things that you want to look at? And are there any specific tests that you would perform?
Yeah, exactly. So just the caveat that this does always kind of depend. So this isn't the exact test that I do on every patient, but it is important to take vitals on these patients and make sure that, you know, even if they don't have these complaints, that their blood pressure and heart rate are all normal and that there isn't kind of an underlying vascular pathology or more sinister kind of pathology that's present. And then again, if needed, the Canadian C-spine rules are kind of a set of rules that really just guide imaging, but it's important to always make sure that that person that we're assessing as a physiotherapist is appropriate for us to assess and for us to see. So those rules are really just kind of surrounded by, their age and how traumatic the injury was. And then even for less traumatic events, are they able to rotate their head 45 degrees? And that kind of set of rules helps us rule in or rule out the need for imaging if there is a suspected fracture. So those are always kind of things that I keep in the back of my mind, as well as some of the ligamentous testing. Again, as physios, we always have a really strong musculoskeletal exam, but it's always important to prioritize the red flags first to make sure that they're safe to be seen so that we can go through our very thorough musculoskeletal or orthopedic assessment. So things like the transverse or alar ligament tests are things that I might do with a patient who has those reports where I think that might be a possibility. And then lastly, one thing to really highlight with whiplash patients is to do a really comprehensive neurological exam. Obviously, I'm doing my PhD in this, so I'm a bit biased, but we do have findings. We recently published a systematic review and meta-analysis that showed that just in general, patients of any grade or severity do have findings based on a typical neurological exam and also electrodiagnostic tests. But then importantly we kind of did a subgroup analysis of just whiplash grade 2 patients. And so those are patients that, again, present, as traditional kind of reduced range of motion and pain, but don't have abnormal signs on the traditional neurological tests of reflexes, dermatomes, or light touch and myotones. But we found significant differences in some of their, thermal or kind of pinprick, the small fiber testing. They did present with those findings. There's also some studies that showed reduced intraepidermal nerve fiber densities and MRI changes to the nerves of patients with just whiplash grade 2. So I guess all of those just lead, to the point that even though patients don't present with, drastic neurological change on that part of the exam, it's important to always rule out both the large and the small nerve fibers. Just highlighting the need for a comprehensive neurological examination, because we know from the research and previous findings that they can be abnormal and are likely abnormal in a subgroup of patients that do have whiplash injuries.
Do you routinely do an MSK assessment of shoulders, upper limb, or lower back?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So we know that, these injuries often are focused around the spine and the cervical spine, but patients have, presentations in all sorts of injuries, especially, with where their seatbelt was or if, the direction mm-hmm. of their impact. It's normally not just a single joint that's involved. So always important to clear, shoulder, thoracic spine. And then there is a really high percentage, I think in the prevalence, it's the second highest percentage of pain are reports of low back pain after whiplash injuries. So important to do a full assessment of that as well.
Yeah, perfect. And you mentioned the Canadian C-spine rules for x-rays. In terms of imaging, are there any other like MRI or CT scan that the patients need to be referred to? And if the answer is yes, when do you think we have to refer those patients for further imaging?
Yeah, sure. So this is traditionally kind of a patient-by-patient basis. In the United States, at least, kind of the main guidelines that are used are the American College of Radiology appropriateness criteria, which is kind of the principal guideline that uses the Canadian C-spine rules and the Nexus emergency guidelines. And really, there is certainly in whiplash as a broad topic, and then imaging for whiplash, there's still some controversy around this area. But important to rule out fractures in those that, you know, come up with with the high risk on the Canadian C-spine rules. And then potentially, you know, based on the need, they might get a CT scan to rule out or better identify any fracture or bony abnormalities. MRIs aren't as often used just because of kind of the mechanism of what they're looking at. They're often used in research studies for patients with whiplash injuries to answer more interesting questions that are kind of research specific. But right now, in terms of kind of physio related screening and what to do as a clinician, our role is really, you know, to identify if these patients are at high risk of a fracture or, you know, essentially just at high risk of a fracture, and then to see if we need to refer out for a, you know, more advanced type of imaging. But yeah, certainly just to kind of summarize that, that x-rays are the most commonly done afterwards, and then CT would be second to that.
Okay, yeah, perfect. And now I would like to move on to the physiotherapy management of whiplashes. What are the most effective treatments for whiplash?
Yeah, that's a great question. So unfortunately, in the literature, systematic reviews and meta-analysis that have come out lately don't show a strong effect for exercise. There's some evidence in reviews that show that exercise can be beneficial in the short term, but don't have strong long-term effects. Again, this is hard because some of the evidence, the quality of the evidence in those systematic reviews isn't always the highest. And to try to compare kind of, you know, those heterogeneous studies is always tricky. So in terms of kind of large reviews, that can be challenging. But that's kind of where the state of the evidence is currently in terms of exercise and physio specific exercise. And that has been shown both kind of in overall whiplash severity and then whiplash grade two specifically, that evident that exercise may be beneficial in the short term early on, but more studies are needed and higher quality studies are needed. There's been some recent randomized control trials primarily done in Australia that have shown physiotherapy based exercises plus kind of a stress behavioral coping educational component that has been beneficial for patients both in the short and the long term. So it'll be really interesting to see where some of the newer physiotherapy exercise research goes, especially with whiplash specifically, because there's some high level or high quality research that's been coming out that's quite exciting. So that's something exciting to look forward to. But then kind of on the flip side, if we look at the specifics, those are just kind of large randomized control trials that look at exercise specifically. But then we know our systematic review and others has shown that a high percentage of these patients have signs of nerve mechanosensitivity. So those upper limb nerve tension tests are positive in a subgroup of patients. And you know, previous research has shown that patients that do present with that, not whiplash specifically, but just kind of with nerve mechanosensitivity in general, do benefit from nerve glides. So that can be an effective exercise for physiotherapists. So those patients after whiplash that do have signs of nerve mechanosensitivity, so like a positive upper limb neural tension test, would be effective to use nerve glides or kind of exercises like that to help reduce some of that mechanosensitivity and irritation. And then obviously with all of this, it's important to always educate our patients on kind of the range of whiplash that they're experiencing, the prognosis, the importance of staying active and getting back into those activities. We know that just in terms of prognostic factors from previous systematic reviews that, you know, higher neck disability scores, higher scores of post-traumatic stress, or poor expectations of recovery are all poor prognostic factors. So it's important to educate our patients on what we know about whiplash injuries, what our role can be to help, and that most patients recover. So it's important to try to, you know, get back to those activities that they would do in the past. So yeah, that's kind of like the the tiers of those that I think of when I'm, you know, seeing a patient with whiplash injury, is, you know, educating on all the wide range of symptoms that they may be experiencing and how we're going to work on that together. And then in terms of exercise, like I said, kind of the broad systematic review category is a little mixed on how effective physio is or exercise in general can be, but you know, important that in our targeted exam, if there's like impairments that we can work on, that we can, you know, prescribe targeted exercises for those to help improve their outcomes. And then looking at more of like the nerve sensitivity side to see if there was, there are ways that we can help patients after whiplash injury with that.
Yeah, perfect. And just on the back of that, does manual therapy have a role in whiplash?
Yeah, certainly. Trying to think of reviews that are associated with that, but I don't know of any off the top of my head. I don't know of any reviews looking at manual therapy specifically, but sometimes it's, you know, that's hard. Why it's hard to summarize some of the physiotherapy whiplash literature in general is because we always use kind of a combination of approaches. But we know that there are findings of, you know, joint hypomobility and reduced range of motion and the pain mechanisms that are associated with manual therapy. So yeah, it certainly has its role in those patients that do kind of have those objective findings that are associated with that.
Yeah, perfect. And just want to go into our last question for today. If you could give us like three take-home messages for physios that are dealing with whiplash patients, what would they be?
Yeah, that's a great question. First, I would say that it's always like most important because this is kind of a traumatic neck injury that we're always screening for red flags and making sure that they're appropriate for physiotherapy. The challenging part of our job in that assessment is that so many of those, you know, common reports that we hear after whiplash injury of neck pain, headaches, can be the typical musculoskeletal complaints like we talked about, but they can also be masqueraders of more serious pathology. So my first take home would be definitely just ruling out red flags and making sure that they're appropriate for PT. Second, I would say just kind of followed off of that critical to do a really detailed examination, both our traditional musculoskeletal exam, but also neurologically, whether that's, you know, cranial nerves to both large and small nerve fibers. We know that all of those can be present in a subgroup of patients that have whiplash injuries. So important for us to rule that in or rule that out for the patients that we see. That detailed exam also gives us, you know, critical insight into what ways that we can help and how we can apply that targeted management to the patient in front of us. Because unfortunately, we know that the one size fits all model doesn't work well, really for most conditions at all, but especially for whiplash, because it can have such a wide range of symptoms and signs. So yeah, number two would just be, you know, just the importance of having a really detailed examination. And third, I would say in a more like uplifting way, just as physiotherapists, we have such an important role for patients after a whiplash injury. Often these patients, you know, might immediately go to emergency department or A&E. They might see their GP once or twice to try to understand what's going on. But in most countries and for most patients that go see a provider with whiplash injuries, physios are kind of their mainstay, their main person that they see, which I think is, you know, quite an exciting role for us, an important role for us. So, you know, just taking that to heart and trying to use that to educate your patient about what we do know about whiplash injuries, the prognosis, the ways that we can help, and that most patients recover and do really well.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, thanks very much. It's been really nice to chat with you today. And also, I think it's been a very practical podcast. You've given us a lot of very useful information. I know a lot of our colleagues will take those information on board and use them next time they see a patient with whiplash, I'm sure.
Yeah, thanks very much for having me.
And then Joel, just for people are interested in your work as a researcher or want to know a little bit more about you, do you have any contact details or social media where people can follow your work?
Yeah, sure. I'm not great about posting, but I'm on Twitter, and that's Jay Fundan. So my last name, J-F-U-N-D-A-U-N, on Twitter.
Okay, perfect. So thanks thanks again for today.
Great, thanks.
And thanks everyone for being with us. And we hope to see you soon, our next episode of Guida Galattica per Fisioterapisti podcast. Thank you very much. Bye.